At the edge of the dead city, a great plain of blasted land lay churned and broken. Defense bunkers were cracked open like looted tombs, trenches filled with floods of dried, blood-laced mud.
Those winds. The sound chills the marrow.
Garrow, Varen, and Rubio navigated around deep impact craters, where lakes of toxic water gathered. The rusted, burnt-out shells of land speeders and assault tanks lay across the silent battlefield. And here and there, the grimy skeletons of soldiers spared the mercy of death by vaporization.
No sane man could look upon this place and not think it a vision of hell.
Hell? There is no such thing, Garrow. It's a figment of old idolatry, nothing more. We have no need for a place of horrors beyond death. Horus makes it for us, here, in the real.
The battle captain did not respond. A glitter of something golden caught his eye, in the lee of an overturned Rhino-class armored transport. It reflected the weak, watery daylight. Garrow approached and found the remains of a man, scraps of a gray-green uniform clinging to blackened bones. He bent down to take a closer look. Rubio approached him.
What is it?
Garrow leaned in, and with a delicacy that belied the bulk of his armored hand, he plucked a smoke-dirtied icon from the cracked fingers of the corpse. It was a simple chain made of low-purity metal, and hanging from it, a two-headed aquila of the Imperium, rendered in gold. It seemed tiny, lying there in the palm of his ceramite gauntlet.
The uniform. This one was a soldier in the Imperial Army. A rifleman.
Garrow knew full well what the icon represented. Outwardly an ordinary trinket, the Aquila symbol was a touchstone for those who followed a secret faction within the secular Imperium. Those who carried such a thing were followers of the Lectitio Divinitatus. They who believed that the Emperor of Mankind was worthy of godhood. These beliefs hid in shadow. They had no churches, no agency, but those who believed. The Emperor was the most powerful human being that had ever lived, an immortal psychic of matchless power, and he had dismantled every religion in human history in favor of his great empire. It was said that the Emperor himself did not wish to be worshipped as a living deity, but his deeds had taken that choice away from him. His true divinity was bestowed by those who had faith in his majesty. Before the Civil War, before the treachery, Garrow had held to the secular dominions of imperial truth. But since then, the things he had seen, the horrors and the miracles, he had been challenged. And along his path, the warrior had found a new, secret faith.
The Emperor protects.
Rubio examined the dead man.
Those words you speak, as the rifleman perished, they were his last thoughts. How could you know that?
Garrow frowned and let the icon fall from his fingers.
It does not matter.
Kinsman, over here! You should see this!
Varen stood at the edge of a wide, low blast crater. And as Garrow and the Psyker drew close, both Astartes saw that the earth about the hollow had been fused into dull, glassy sheets by some tremendous discharge of heat.
A fusion blast, perhaps.
Varen held a twisted curve of blackened metal in his grip, the fragment trailing broken cables and bunches of fibers that resembled muscle. His face was set in an expression that was equally sorrowful and angered.
Another relic of the dead to lay at the bastard Warmaster's feet.
Garrow's breath caught in his throat. The fragment was a piece of power armor, a pauldron warped by thermal shock. The original colors of the cracked ceramite sheath were barely discernible, marbled white with dark emerald details. But it was the scarred, pitted symbol upon the armor piece that, for a moment, robbed Garrow of his voice. There, staring back at him, was the device of a white skull on a black sun, the sigil of the Death Guard Legion. He looked away, and with mounting dread saw what at first he had thought to be more drifts of blasted rubble were the scattered remains of Astartes' war gear, left to rust and decay. Garrow's fingers tightened into fists, and he felt the mirror of Varan's cold fury rise in him.
I know where we stand, World Eater. This place, this graveyard. This is where my battle brothers perished at Horus Lupercal's command. Here they died when Mortarion, my own Primarch, gave them up. You said we should not stir the ashes of the dead, Varan. You are mistaken. We need to hear them. We must listen to the tales of their deaths. And then, on the day the Turncoat War Master is given his due, we will be their voices.
The Codicia gave a curt nod, the soft glow of his psychic hood framing his face.
I hear them even now, at the edge of my senses, like the rush of the wind.
Rubio did not complete his thought. Instead, he suddenly turned in place, bringing up his bolter to the ready, aiming into the gloom.